Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Ours is a new love, but it burns very brightly, and it gets hot and sweaty and stanky. There's some stank on that love.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
You think you're going to find somebody that's going to be like psyched to go to Applebee's with you every Friday night and hear the same football stories about how you rocked in high school?
I did rock at high school football. You want to check tape?
And Brendan Sprague.
You know about the cup sizes now?
I have different cups.
Yeah, I know about the cup.
You got the A, the B. The C, the D, that's the biggest.
I know the D is the biggest. I based my whole life on knowing that the D is the biggest.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan. Good morning. Happy Thursday to everybody out there. Even the ones who gave us the one-star reviews on the Apple Podcast feed. We still love you, even though you hate us and you're so pathetic in life that you had to go do that.
I actually appreciate it. I like that there's like two or three of them. They stand out.
I ate at a restaurant yesterday. My dad came in town. We were talking about they were reading reviews.
Okay.
First of all, their menu, they are menu reading at home people before they get to the restaurant.
I have no problem with that. I'll check out a menu before I go. I won't read reviews, though.
Well, the menu thing I get if you're going to a new restaurant. They've been at this restaurant a few times.
Okay, that's a little weird then.
And I was like, what are you guys doing? And my stepmom was like, well, if we don't read it now, we'll take forever at the restaurant. Guess what they still did at the restaurant? They took forever. They didn't know what they wanted.
The menu.
So we go to this restaurant, and we were talking about the menu, and then she goes, yeah, we read a couple reviews, too, before we got here. I'm like, oh, you did? She goes, yeah, there was a couple people saying the service or the food wasn't that good. And I said, how many positive reviews? She goes, well, it's probably like 80% of them were positive. I said, exactly. Exactly.
That's a good clip.
If you have a bad experience at a restaurant, like, it has got to be beyond egregious for me to post publicly a bad review on your place. I just won't show back up.
Exactly. I'll never be a review guy, good or negative. If you give me horrible service and your food sucks or wherever, even if it's not a restaurant, if it's a place I don't want to go back, guess what? That's my punishment. I'm not going back there. I'm not going to spend my money.
I disagree with you. If it's really good, I'll go out of my way if it presents itself to post a positive review.
Okay, you're positive review guy.
I just won't be negative review guy because, well, I'll let my business do the talking for me and let everybody else figure it out on their own. I don't want to trash somebody's business.
Yeah, I will never read reviews before I go to restaurants, mainly because my wife used to work in the service industry, and she just tells stories about people that would feel slighted or get angry about things that they were just in their own feelings. They were mad about something else. They would take it out on servers. They would be total jackasses to deal with at the restaurants, and then they would leave bad reviews. And so you can read those and just get a totally misleading representation of what the restaurant or place is actually like.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't want to read it because I don't know what that person was going through. I don't know if it was actually bad service. I'm not going down that road.
Oh, and then get this. So the waitress, she's really nice. She's funny. She's kind of joking with us a little bit. we're putting in the app order, some get some appetizers, and someone orders a wedge salad at our table, and she goes, I just wanted to let you know the wedge salad is a decent size. And we were kind of like, what? And she goes, well, I feel like I have to tell you because an older lady came in today and ordered the wedge salad, the exact same one you did, and then she complained to me that it was too large.
It was too much food?
And I thought, that's a like that was negative review person. That's an example right there. It's like that's what you're dealing with negative reviews are people like that.
Who complains about that?
Where I'm sitting at a table going, just give me a wedge salad. Yeah, I deal with the size thing later.
If it's too big, I will put it in a thing and I'll take it home.
It's a wedge salad.
It's a salad.
It's iceberg lettuce with some dressing on it and
a couple of tomatoes.
Tomatoes and some pepper.
You're good to go. There's no that having too much food has never been a problem. In fact, I feel like most restaurants, if anything, they go the other direction.
Yeah,
they don't give you
small.
Enough food, yeah. and the plate isn't big enough.
Yeah.
Which is fine if the food's good and it's rich and succulent enough that you don't really notice it by the time you're done. But anybody who complains about having too much food, you got your priorities wrong.
Moral of the story, I'm not negative review guy, but if you are, we still love you anyway, even when you give us one star on the Apple Podcast
that's
app.
That's right.
I wanted to get to this college football thing. The playoff conversation. So the story comes out that they basically have approved the expansion of the playoff, but they can't come to terms with giving conference champions the automatic bid. They're going to reassess the situation in January, but it sounds like the expansion thing is happening.
Yes, and it's going to 12.
So kudos to our friend Josh Pate. He said 24 to 48 hours. He was dead on. They just need to sort out kind of some of the logistics of all of this. The first round games would be at home stadiums, which is badass for the fans of those stadiums.
Amen.
But they'll figure out the conference champion auto bid stuff come January. Well, that's great news to hear. We've been talking about that story probably ad nauseum for some people, but a lot because that can include multiple Pac-12 teams at one point or another in the future. I thought this was interesting from Albert Breer. He quote tweeted the playoff rankings or the way that it's all kind of setting up for the playoff. And he's one of those, dear God, don't give us Cincinnati into the playoff. We don't want to see that. Give us Alabama. And I'm curious for people, does this play a factor for you as a college football fan? If your favorite program is not involved in the conversation, Oregon doesn't appear to be in that position this year. Oregon State obviously is not in that position. Washington State. As a football fan for college football, are you rooting for unpredictability, teams you've never seen, or do you go to the old, I want the blue bloods because I know they're on the same recruiting level as another. I want Georgia, Alabama. I want Ohio State and Michigan, like whatever the matchups are with the blue bloods. Are you one of those? Because Albert Breer cites TV ratings as a reason to want it.
That's so dumb.
And also doesn't want to watch, he says, Cincinnati get beaten by Georgia. I'm curious if college football fan feels this way, that they like seeing the traditional powers, or if there really is something to seeing a new team like Cincinnati if they can get in.
This is one of the reasons why I want an expanded playoff most, to be honest with you, because I find conversations like this ridiculous and takes like this even dumber, right? College football is the only sport where we don't want to allow the ability to actually play the game and decide the result on the field. That we have this notion in our mind of who the best teams in the country are, and those are the only teams that should get a shot to compete for a national championship. I will use an example for you. Rewind a week ago today, in what is everybody thinking and saying largely about the Michigan-Ohio State game. Now, you might have liked Michigan. Maybe they cover an 8-point spread.
I like them with the points. I'm not going to say I like them to win.
Not very many people across the country thought not only would Michigan win that game, but largely dominate and be in control of that game from start to finish, where Ohio State couldn't stop them. They got after C.J. Stroud. They dominated that football game.
Yes, they did.
I didn't see that coming. But if you look on paper and recruiting rankings and who was playing better and which team was sexier, we all would have thought Ohio State was the better team. Same thing goes hell with Oregon and Ohio State earlier this year. It's the only sport where we do this, where we have this opinion of Alabama because what Alabama's done over the last 10, 15 years. We have this opinion of Cincinnati because they don't play in a Power 5 conference. And we tell ourselves, well, that means Alabama has to be better than Cincinnati. Cincinnati would have no shot at beating Alabama. Upsets happen. They do. Now, I know largely in the era of the college football playoff, it has been the most dominant teams. But there are examples of programs that we didn't give a shot in hell at winning that went on to win. The first one ever was a great example. I know I didn't think Cardale Jones was going to win a national title as a third-string quarterback at Ohio State.
14-point dogs to Bama in the first playoff game.
And they beat them. I thought Oregon was going to roll them in the national title. That sure as hell didn't happen. When Alabama couldn't even win their own division, I didn't think they were going to win the national title that year. Jalen Hurts sucks. Lo and behold, here comes Tua. They won. So we've had years where there's been this kind of under-the-radar team that has won a national championship.
But you're saying under-the-radar, and I think you're right in the way you're putting it, but you're still talking about Ohio State and Alabama.
Sure, I just hate Cincinnati that we do this. This is the only sport that we do this in because Cincinnati isn't in the SEC. They shouldn't have a chance to compete for a national championship. I get it. If you had a year where you had an undefeated team in the Big Ten, an undefeated team in the ACC, an undefeated team in the Big 12, an undefeated team in the SEC, Cincinnati does not deserve a shot at that by any stretch of the imagination. Guess what, folks? We don't have that this year. It's been utter chaos. Have we seen Alabama play over the last month? Do they look like one of the best two teams in the country?
No.
No, they don't. They haven't all year. This is all name recognition. And this is why we desperately need to get to a 12-team format so these kind of conversations don't happen. And teams like Cincinnati or Oklahoma State or Michigan, because of the year that they've had, will get a shot. Are they going to win the national title? Probably not. Georgia's probably going to win the whole damn thing because that defense is just too damn good this year, but I'm still going to watch and I'm still going to be interested to see if somebody can pull off the upset.
Yeah, I find that when this happens, when we have these seasons where you get a little chaos and then you get a, you know, kind of a Cinderella to a certain extent, I guess, with Cincinnati, even though a lot of people thought they'd be really good this year. They were returning a lot of talent, their quarterback, et cetera. I just, when that pops up, I kind of side eye that. Like, I'm not, you know me, I'm not real pro Cincinnati as they're in a group of five. Big 12 Cincinnati, I'm all in. Like, if they do it, great. They have a good shot to make the playoff. I won't refute that. I'm also not going to completely trash if they get in. I won't give them a shot to beat Georgia beats Bama.
Neither will I.
But they'll at least get the opportunity.
And they deserve the opportunity.
Because guess what? We've also seen Blue Blood Oklahoma the snot beat out of them.
Why don't we do this with LSU. Oklahoma? That's my biggest. We do this with Notre Dame, or we're going to do it with Cincinnati. With Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma, why do they avoid this? If they were up there, an undefeated team this year, nobody would be arguing, I don't want to see Oklahoma again. They're going to get their ass kicked.
You're becoming desk pound guy when you talk. Have you noticed that?
You're getting very angry about this. This stuff drives me nuts, though. Why do some pro? Why do we do this with Notre Dame and not Oklahoma? Explain that to me.
Well, okay, here's my best guess.
Okay.
My best guess of why we do it to every other program but Oklahoma is because Oklahoma plays in a sexy style. And I know you're going to laugh at that. I know it's ridiculous. They have multiple Heisman winners. It's clear that Lincoln Riley knows what he's doing in coaching the X's and O's of the offense.
Except when he goes in the college football playoff and gets his ass beat every time.
Hey, they almost beat Georgia to Baker
that one time
the Rose
they
Bowl.
Came close.
That was a great football game,
A great football game.
But I think it's because of the style of play. It's we like to watch them throw it around and kind of balance it out with the run game.
Until they get shut down by an SEC defense.
Or they never have a defense to stop an SEC offense.
And we do this at Notre Dame and we say, well, it's a long-term trend, right? This has been going on since Oregon State smoked them way back in the day, right? And I get that. Do we not also acknowledge that this has been going on with Oklahoma forever? Remember when Sam Bradford had the best offense that college football had ever seen, and they went into the 7 or 8 national title? They scored 14 points against Florida.
Yeah, Florida, yeah.
Like we look at Oklahoma won the one national title in, what was it, 2000 under 2000. Bob Stoops?
Yeah. They've been big game whoops ever since.
Haven't had one since.
No.
But they don't get the same label.
No, because it's Oklahoma,
sexy.
It's the Big 12. And I know, that sounds dumb, but I have no other explanation. We've talked about this before. They haven't won a playoff game.
No.
And every year we act like they're just a new program. If a team like Oregon makes the playoff, they're like, eh, well, Oregon has it. What a title.
And Oregon will get that label. They're going to get drilled. If any other team from the Pac-12 made it, Michigan State got drilled when they went the one time. Like,
that's why I said
these.
The year that Oregon beat Utah in the title game, that's why I had told you, I didn't care if you got beat by LSU in that game the way Oklahoma did. You take that because guess what? People stop caring about it as soon as it's done. They move on to the next game, and then the season happens. But you go, Oregon was in the playoff last year.
Sure, you were in the game.
There's some cachet there. It's ridiculous, but it is what it is in college football. I want to stick in college football. Our two stops, by the way, the Daily Ticker, Stillwater, and Georgia. I want to talk about the two conference championship games. Georgia could eliminate Alabama and win the SEC, and Oklahoma State could punch their ticket, I think, to the playoff. if they beat Baylor. So those are going to be our two stops for the ticker. We've got Kyle Whittingham at 8, and our boy KT will hop on at 8:30. We'll get his picks. He went 2-1 last weekend. Coming up next, I want to bring up something about Oregon that you started, and also a little throwback of the Ducks. Ooh, okay. And I'll explain what that means next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, you did it. You pissed people off.
Who, me?
You.
What did I do?
You did a poll question asking who's going to win a national championship first. Lincoln Riley, Brian Kelly, and then, of course, little old you. You threw Mario Cristobal and Oregon in that. And
I don't appreciate the heightism there. I'm going to HR. Oh.
With all the things you could have turned me in for HR, that's the thing you go.
That's the one. It's a line you can't cross.
That's how I go down. That hurts. Yeah, interesting. Not that we got like a million comments or reaction to it, but the
very angry
LOLing at Mario Cristobal and winning a national championship. I'm not going to tell you I have all the confidence in the world that he is capable of pulling it off. He is creating a narrative for himself as good as he has been. And I'm not telling you that this means that's who he's going to be. But there is a narrative, I think, building with Oregon that they're going to stub their toe at some point and not they're going to lose the game. That ultimately keeps them back from getting to the top.
Sure, yeah.
So I find it interesting, people and in how they don't really have faith in Mario to do what a lot of people assume Lincoln Riley may do, Brian Kelly. And by the way, these are guys who haven't done it yet.
Exactly.
Brian Kelly may do, Dabo has done, Nick has done, Kirby Smart hasn't done, but he's been there. I don't know. I don't think people put Mario in that conversation.
That's fair. I did find it funny, the reaction last night. I threw it up knowing that it was going to get that level of reaction, right? That Oregon fan was only going to vote for Mario Cristobal. I did not vote, by the way, for Mario Cristobal.
Who'd you vote for?
I voted for Brian Kelly, actually.
Really?
I did, yeah. I think because the question is who's going to win the most or who is the best. It's just who's going to win the first one, who has the quickest path to it. And I think LSU is the answer to that right now because of where they're at as a program. So that was actually my answer. But I did chuckle at the response, and largely it's people that hate Oregon that laugh about Mario Cristobal because of the point that you just brought up. And that point is we just talked about this in the last segment. What is Lincoln Riley's history in the college football playoff? What is Brian Kelly's history in the college football playoff?
Ofer.
So why is it so laughable that one school is even in the conversation, whereas these coaches have never won a college football playoff game, and largely when they've been on that stage. By the way, it's not like they were coaching at Florida Atlantic. They were coaching at Oklahoma and Notre Dame, two of the top recruiters in the country that have some of the best talent in the country, and they got drilled basically every time they win. But it's not a laughable notion that either of those coaches ever won a title. That was the reaction to me that did make me chuckle.
I think the response to that from people who don't buy Mario is those guys have been there a couple times, though. Those guys have been in that position, and yes, a few times have not gone well for both of those coaches, but that they've gotten their teams past the stubbing of toe game.
Sure.
You know, fair. To me, it's not Utah. Like, we made that Utah game was huge. It was prime time. I know Duck fan was jacked, and everybody that hates Oregon was jacked. You look back on their season, and they still have the title game to play for. It's not Utah. Folks, go back. It's Stanford. Yeah, the Stanford game is the game you should not have lost.
Yeah, that program sucks.
That program sucks, and I know they were a slightly different team at that point when Oregon played them, but we watched that game. It was not a game I walked away from saying, well, Oregon deserved to lose that. No. Oregon did a few things that they shouldn't have done, and they found themselves in that position, and Stanford ended up pulling that one out. And so I think that would be the difference to answer your question of, well, why does X and Y coach get what Z coach doesn't get? And I think it's because those two haven't had multiple toe stubs. Mario, if he has a big non-conference like Auburn a couple years ago,
right,
that's a great game to schedule. I respect every program that does that, but you lose that and then you almost have no leg room to lose one more, which would be kind of, I think, normal, which is why I like expansion. But it's because he has those moments every year.
Here's the counter argument I would make to it is that when you look at Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly and what they did at the past schools that they were at, Brian Kelly had a rebuild at Notre Dame. That program sucked. It was in a bad spot in 2009. They lost a game, I believe, in 2009 to UConn, just to tell you where they were at. Now, he had the one random year in 2012 in his third year that they went undefeated, but everybody, it was one of those fluky years. Everybody knew that they weren't one of the two best teams in the country.
You said 2012?
2012.
When they got smoked. Navy, Stanford, like, right. All these last
played
second
nobody,
wins.
And it barely beat everybody. We knew that they were going to get smoked in the national title game. That was his third year at Notre Dame. You know what he did in his first 2 years? 8-5, 8-5. Then they had that. Then they lost 4 games, 5 games. A nice 10-3 year, 4-8. It took him a while to get to the point where Notre Dame was where they're at now. And that's a team that seems ready made to go 11-1 or 10-2 every single season because he's built it up. It didn't happen right off the bat. As Lincoln Riley goes, he took over a spaceship that was ready to take off. That was a Chip Kelly taking over for Mike Bellotti in 2010. There was no rebuild needed. It was a program that was recruiting at a top 5, top 10 level in a championship competition mode year in and year out. Now he took it and he got him to the playoff and he had some great years, a ton of success, won Heisman trophies, number one picks. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying I do find it funny that when we say, well, look at Lincoln Riley's success and where he got and compare it to a guy like Cristobal, they're apples to oranges comparisons. Go look at Oregon and where they were not only in winning on the field but in recruiting in 2015, 2016, and 2017.
Now, Helfrich, right? He flew
it
right into
ugly.
The mountain.
They were 4-8 in 2016. They had a 7-5 year with Willie Taggart, who was their head coach for 1 year and then bounced and lost a ton of recruits that year. Like, it was a bad spot. And so to compare the two and say, well, because Lincoln Riley did it in his first 4 years and Mario hasn't done it in his first 4 years, therefore he'll never do it, I find that laughable.
I do. I give Mario a S ton of credit because you're right. That program with Helfrich, I mean, if Helfrich would have been able to stick around, I have no doubts in my mind Helfrich would have kept that thing at 5 or 6 wins at most. We could clearly tell he was just running a Chip thing. He was trying to be Chip, and he was nowhere near who Chip was.
He wasn't recruiting.
Willie came in, and Willie was like, oh, let's make a documentary on Willie Taggart. And then he won 7 games, and then he snake oil salesman you, and he left for Florida State. I will push back on the Lincoln stuff, though. I dove into their numbers and everything. Oklahoma's recruiting really took a nosedive. They were 8-5 the year prior to hiring Lincoln Riley, and their offense was not one. It was okay, but it wasn't what it was with him. I do give him a lot of credit. Not that Oklahoma wasn't going to ever find their way. They're freaking Oklahoma. But Stoops knew he needed a guy. And he went and got Lincoln Riley. The recruiting instantly went up. He became head coach. They kept getting top 10 classes.
Yeah, he had a big hand in it. I'm not saying that.
A huge hand. So that's my only pushback, is I do think Lincoln Riley helped kind of revive Oklahoma a little bit to the top end. No, because Stoops was 8-5, and they were like, hey.
The years before that, he was 11-2, 10-3, 10-3, 12-2.
But the three losses in Oklahoma, you know that doesn't land. I mean, two losses in Eugene now is starting to piss people off a little bit. And that may be ridiculous. But that's kind of what college football has been in this BCS four-team playoff thing, is you lose two or more games, your season by many fans' standards is over. And that's unfortunate, but that's kind of the world we've been in college football for quite some time. I didn't even get to what I wanted to talk about.
This is not my fault. You brought this up.
I know. This is my fault. I was going to highlight the Utah championship game from 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Because that was another instance where we were kind of thinking, a lot of people thinking Utah.
I know. I thought Utah was going to kick the crap out of Oregon in that game.
And the numbers are mind-blowing. Utah was allowing 80 yards rushing that season per game, and Oregon just dominated them in that one.
It couldn't be stopped.
Maybe we'll get into that a little bit. Kyle Whittingham's going to join us in a half hour. Woo-hoo. We have the head coach of the Utah Utes joining us at 8 a.m. But coming up next, we have two stops on the daily ticker. We go to Oklahoma, where the Oklahoma State Cowboys getting ready to try to win the Big 12 championship and maybe punch a playoff ticket. And Georgia, they can win the SEC and eliminate Alabama. What a weekend in store we have. Conference championship talk on the Daily Ticker is next.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Thursday. Some great conference championships this weekend. And we're excited for them. One of them is in the Big 12, Oklahoma State, trying to punch their ticket to a college football playoff, potentially. And joining us now is Zach Lancaster, PokesReport.com, at ZLancaster91 on Twitter. You can go give him a follow. Zach, thanks for the time, man. I got to start. Is this the best week in Oklahoma State football history, or just sports history? Because not only do you guys get a win in Bedlam, but then that's followed up the very next day out of nowhere. Lincoln Riley's hitting the road and he's out of town in Norman. Has there been a better week for you guys there at Oklahoma State?
Certainly not for Oklahoma State fans. It's been pretty crazy. You know, I don't know how much of the Bedlam series is known out in Portland, but Oklahoma State hasn't traditionally had a lot of success against Oklahoma. So you come back, you give up, a fumble and a muff punt that gave up a safety and a touchdown, and you go down 9 in the third quarter, and Oklahoma State fans are like, well, this is it. Once again, it's over. And they come back and hold on and win that game, and then in less than 16 hours, it seems like the world's falling apart down in Norman. So Oklahoma State fans can't get enough, if I'm being honest.
Well, look, big weekend for them. They get a rematch with Baylor to win the Big 12. And, you know, if Alabama loses, I'm one that just thinks if Oklahoma State wins and one of the top four right now gets bumped, I think Oklahoma State's getting in because they win a Power 5 conference, and the Big 12 is a pretty respectable conference. They beat Baylor 24-14 earlier this year. What did they do really well in that game to you? And then what is an area maybe that you highlight that maybe Baylor could expose or do better that would worry Oklahoma State fan about losing this game?
Well, I mean, you look at it, and this defense has just been stifling. I mean, if you look at what Baylor's doing this year, they're averaging 227 yards on the ground, and Oklahoma State the first time around held them to 107. And that's something that Oklahoma State's done really, really well all year. They're holding opponents to just 93 yards on the ground. If I'm Oklahoma State, I mean, that's you're putting all your eggs in the defensive basket in Jim Knowles. Obviously, you look at what this offense has done, and it's not your traditional, Big 12, 40, 50, 60 points a game. They did that against Kansas, But this is an offense that hasn't made a lot of mistakes the past couple weeks. Spencer Sanders, I think, has a pretty good chance of being an All-Big 12 quarterback this year. He's been consistent. He's finally showing that he kind of understands this game. It's slowing down for him. I know he had two interceptions against OU, but he didn't let him rattle him. He came back out and played well. And so you have to have a lot of confidence in the offense. It's not making a lot of mistakes. If I'm Baylor, you look at it, and while teams haven't really had a lot of success through the air this year, there have been games where you're kind of able to pick on the corners a little bit and kind of make some bread and butter there. I would be curious to see what Baylor does. This is a much better Baylor team than it was in October, and they weren't bad in October. Mm-hmm. But you give them another 2 months, and I think the big question there is whether or not they're going to have Jerry Bohannon, the quarterback, dealing with that hamstring issue. So if I'm Baylor, I'm looking at maybe picking on the corners who have had some pretty good success. But you look at that defensive front seven for Oklahoma State with the linebackers and really, really good defensive ends. Baylor, I think they're going to have some issues there with a lot of pressure on that front line.
Yeah, last one for you, Zach. I'm just curious. I mean, Gundy's been there since 2005. He's had some great years, some down years, but he's stayed committed. They've stayed committed to him, despite his name always, it feels like, showing up in kind of offseason storylines. What would – I'm of the opinion – we're going to go to Georgia here in a second. I'm of the opinion that they're going to win that game. What would it mean for Oklahoma State and for Gundy to get into the college football playoff?
This I've done some radio this week, and I've posed the question on my Twitter. Is this the biggest game in Oklahoma State history? And if you go back through it, I mean, obviously you've got games with Barry Sanders and Thurman Thomas, and they won a Big 12 title game back in 2011, won a Fiesta Bowl over Stanford in that same year, 2011. But they weren't able to take advantage of that success because they didn't have a designated recruiting staff. They have now, and if they win this game, I'm with you guys. I think they jump into the top four. Depending on what happens ahead of them. I mean, if Cincinnati ends up winning, but maybe they don't win enough, maybe they don't win big enough, you know, and Alabama loses, does Oklahoma State jump up to number three? If they do that, they're playing Michigan in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, which is 4 hours south of Stillwater. I mean, this is the biggest game in Oklahoma State history. If they win their second Big 12 title game in program history and in the same time make a college football playoff berth. Yeah. I mean, this is going to be huge for Mike Gundy. It's going to be huge for the program. You could see, you know, 23, 24 recruiting really leap off. And this is a massive game for Oklahoma State fans who, let's be honest, have struggled sometimes over the years, just kind of coming up short every now and then.
Yeah, being the bridesmaid. We'll see if they can be the bride. We're rooting for them. That defense is a lot of fun to watch. It's going to be a fun game this weekend. Zach Lancaster of PokesReport.com, at ZLancaster91 on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Enjoy that game. Enjoy covering it, and should be a lot of fun. Thanks for the time here in Portland today, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Great stuff from Oklahoma State. Let's go to Georgia now, shall we? As they're taking on Alabama. They got to slay that dragon this weekend in the SEC title game. Anthony Dasher, at Anthony Dasher 1 on Twitter, UGASports.com, covering the Bulldogs. Anthony, thanks for the time, man. Georgia's just kind of, it feels like nobody's talking about them because they've been so dominant. There's like not even a conversation to have. They're just winning every game easily. Is this the week that they finally do it? They've been trying to get over that Alabama hump.
Please,
God. Do they get it done this weekend?
God.
Well, if they do not get it done this weekend, then you have to start asking the question if they ever will get it done. I think Georgia has as good a chance as they've had in recent years to, like you say, finally slay that dragon. And that is a big deal. I mean, Alabama's won six straight games in this series. Of course, everybody remembers the national championship game from a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And the Bulldogs have a great opportunity to come on Saturday afternoon.
Anthony, when you look at the matchup with Alabama, and it's been a recent history, it's not just SEC level here. You're talking national championship, you're talking about SEC championship. What would this mean for Kirby Smart? What would this mean to Bulldog fan to maybe finally get over this? I'm not only beat Alabama and win the SEC, but to finally eliminate them, get them out of this picture so you don't have to see them again in a playoff situation.
Probably would mean more to fans than Kirby Smart, to be quite honest with me. Kirby Smart is tries as hard as he can to downplay the Kirby Smart versus Nick Saban, Georgia, Alabama. He just wants his team to advance and win in advance, take that next step. But like I just said, I mean, this is such a huge game for Georgia. I know Alabama, is just supposedly a slight underdog in this one, but Georgia is really focused on this. It's a mature team, and I think they're ready for whatever challenge they see on Saturday.
We know, Anthony, about this Georgia defense, and they've gotten the headlines this year, rightfully so. You just watch them, and it's amazing what they've been able to do and basically shutting everybody down all season. Where are you guys at, and where are Georgia fans at on the offense? You know, you get into some of these bigger games where you're playing teams like Alabama, or, you know, fast forward potentially to a college football playoff, because I think Georgia's in no matter what happens this weekend. It just depends on, you know, if they'll have to play Alabama again, which I know they don't want to face that scenario. But, you know, Michigan's a good defensive team. We were just talking Oklahoma State. They're a good defensive team. Like, where are people at on this Georgia offense, and is it a liability at all in people's minds?
Well, that depends on who you talk to. If you look at the stats, Georgia averaged only over 40 points per game in SEC play. Mm-hmm. And that's just like a point or two behind Alabama this year. The question I think a lot of Georgia fans still have is that's the quarterback. And that's simply because, again, he is a former walk-on, a former two-star, et cetera, et cetera. He's 5'11", 195 pounds. On the sideline, you've got JT Daniels, 4'5", 6'3", 20 pounds. Is that prototypical, you know, All-American type quarterback? And people wonder if Stetson Bennett can actually get it done. But, yeah, I just think it goes back to periphery. He doesn't fit that mold of being a guy who can do it. But Stetson Bennett, all he has done is taken his team out, and they've won. They won very easily. And, while he may not fit that mold, he is that everything, you know, that Kirby Smart, Todd Monken has asked of him. I mean, you look at his efficiency rating right now, 188.55. That is the second highest in the conference, but in the nation.
Wow.
You're talking about a quarterback who has really stepped up his game for the past year. And I think, coaches are very confident in what he can do, but it's still a section of fans who wonder why JT Daniels is not the quarterback.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I can't wait. I hope they slay the dragon this weekend. We're facing a scenario out here where we potentially could have no Alabama, no Ohio State, no Clemson in the college football playoff. All we need, baby, is a Georgia win this weekend to get that done. We'll see if they can do it in Atlanta. Anthony Dasher, he covers Georgia at Anthony Dasher 1 on Twitter. Go give him a follow, UGASports.com. Thanks so much for the time, man. Enjoy covering that game, and we'll see if they can get it done this weekend in the SEC title.
All right, I appreciate it.
There you go. Good stuff from Anthony Dasher.
Damn it.
I know, it was good
Damn
stuff.
It.
We just lost the old phone connection.
What is that? Why is it just...
Just signal, man. Signal. They got enough telephone poles up in Georgia? Is that a thing?
Well, I don't know what it is, but the one I wanted to ask, and obviously we couldn't keep that going. The one thing that worries me about Georgia, and it's not the biggest of things, but the one thing that would worry me, how tested is the team?
Yeah, that's the only question I have.
They took care of their schedule. Like, the Arkansas game a while back was a big one. They just blanked them, beat the brakes off them.
That game was one of those Oregon-Utah games where it was just, like, block punt, touchdown. It was 21-0 in 5 minutes, and you're like, all right, well, that game's over.
It was 14-7 at half against Kentucky, but we know Kentucky's really not that great. That's the one thing. If you're an Alabama backer with the points, it's maybe the one thing encouraging is – they haven't had a lot of close games. They haven't had a lot of really tested games. What can Alabama do to maybe put them on edge a little bit and make them feel something they haven't felt all year? And that's uncomfortable.
Well, there's a certain aspect of you got to get that monkey off your back.
Yes, you do.
Right? Yeah, you know it's in their head. They've never beaten Alabama. Alabama's robbed them of a national championship. They beat them in the SEC title game. Like, they've come close. They just haven't been able to get the job done. Had the lead at the half in that title game a couple of years back, and then Tua comes in. So they got to get over that hump. And then once you look at playoff matchups, seeing how they can go against a potentially a Michigan defense or an Oklahoma State defense, I think those are great storylines for college football. And I hope they happen, because I think it'd be fun to have some new blood in the playoffs this year. And we're close to it. We just need a Georgia win this weekend. I want to get to a college football storyline that came out yesterday that I don't know if I should be surprised by it, but what does it mean for the future of the program? We'll get to that. By the way, Kyle Whittingham, the head coach of Utah, he's going to join us coming up at the top of the hour, and we'll start previewing the Oregon-Utah Pac-12 championship game tomorrow night in Vegas. But a college football story from yesterday next on The Fam. All right, Kyle Whittingham coming up top of the hour, the head coach of Utah. We'll talk to him about their big game tomorrow night right here on The Fan against Oregon, Pac-12 title. Talk about getting a monkey off your back. Utah's got to do that, man. They've had cracks at the Pac-12 championship, and they have fallen short. Is this the year that they finally break through and go to a Rose Bowl?
This will not surprise you. And some listeners are probably going to roll their eyes and say, of course, that's what Sprague would say, you homer hunk.
Kind of rooting for him.
I'm not shocked by that.
Kyle's a good guy.
I'd like to see him be able to at least one time And I guess we could ask about that whole, are you riding off into the sunset stuff? But I think it'd be cool to watch Kyle Whittingham win. I know Duck fan wants to go to a Rose Bowl, and that's great. And then I still think they're going to win that game. But there's a part of me that if Utah wins, I'll smile a little bit for Kyle Whittingham.
I think about 98% of the conference that is not Oregon fan is in lockstep with you, rooting for Utah this weekend.
Well, that's probably the case in every Pac-12 title game that Oregon is involved in. That's not the case for me.
Oh, yeah.
But in this particular one, yes, I am rooting for Kyle Whittingham.
So I saw this yesterday, and it makes sense, but also doesn't make sense, and I wonder how the fan base is feeling about it. So and it should be noted that this is not official yet, and he has said so himself. But we know Kalen DeBoer has taken over as the new Washington head coach. He's been introduced, had the whole press conference, yada, yada, yada. Didn't say anything that was, throwing logs on the fire of rivalries like Jimmy Lake kind of did right away, showing up to basketball games and saying we're going to win and all the...
We're going to dominate the West Coast, I think is what he said.
Yeah, so not, he didn't quite go that far, so you can't quite hate Kalen DeBoer yet.
Good prowess but not to do that by Kalen DeBoer.
Very smart man, no bulletin board material. But this one, I shouldn't have been surprised by it because they were awful last year, and their future answer didn't look great. It is being rumored and reported that Jake Haener, the Fresno State quarterback, formerly a Washington quarterback, is likely to transfer back to Washington. Now, he entered the transfer portal on Tuesday, but he did...
When did DeBoer get hired? Yeah, Tuesday.
Exactly. Now, he was texted. It should be noted, I was reading this in the Seattle Times. They texted him and said, hey, are you coming back to Washington? Because that was reported. He said, I have not committed anywhere yet. So he's not firm on it. But everybody's connecting dots here and saying that he's going to come back to Seattle. His family are, Seattle grads. I think he's a local kid, if I'm not mistaken, from the Seattle area. And obviously competed for the starting job there in 2019, lost it to Jacob Eason, and that's when he transferred after losing that job. This one was interesting, though, because you have what has been argued the future answer at that school, right? And Sam Heward, is he not the future of that program? And I'm just curious, what is this news, if it is true, what does it do to Sam Heward?
Well, if it ends up being true, I think you're happy as a Husky fan. Look, there's a lot of quarterbacks that come in with highly touted recruits, or you get transfer situations. I'm just of the belief that get the best possible quarterback.
Okay.
It's the one thing about Oregon we talked about all year. Are they playing the best possible quarterback for them and what their future is? Mario, and I think a lot of Duck fans would say, yes, Anthony Brown ended up being a good quarterback for us this year. In Seattle, it's interesting because they were so bad, but he didn't play until he played in the Apple Cup.
Yep.
Did you watch that game?
It was ugly. It was awful.
He couldn't complete a thing. I walked away from that game. I'm not sitting here saying he's never going to be good. He can't improve this summer.
He's a true freshman.
I know. But I didn't walk away with like, whoa, I can't wait. Now, that's not fair to him because it's not like Herbert stepped in game one against the Huskies and showed you all that much either.
No, he played pretty bad in that game.
But I think that is where Husky fan may be going of, I mean, if you can get Jake Haener to come back, he knows the system, he's ready to go, and go compete. And I don't think Kalen DeBoer is going to automatically play Haener over Heward if Heward is having a good fall camp. But I don't fault him at all for bringing in the competition. I think you kind of have to do that.
My question would be, what if it equals a Sam Heward transfer?
Well, I mean, if Haener beats him out, Heward is transferring.
Right, because Haener has 1 year of eligibility left, so you'd be asking him basically to accept another year as a backup.
What I would say to that is it's a little risky because Haener is he's in that possibility of getting injured. He's a little smaller, but he knows the system really well, and I know what he's capable of doing. Heward is a wild card. So again, if Haener beats out Heward, you know Heward is going to transfer. I think you kind of have to just roll with that. And if Heward goes on to be a stud somewhere, you're going to kick yourself a little bit.
Right.
But this is a part of a new coach and a regime. You have to also put a little trust and optimism that's not going to make or break what Kalen DeBoer will be at Washington. It's a great story. He's a legacy play. I understand all of that. But you're in a really delicate spot as a program. I don't think you freak out if you end up losing Sam Heward to the transfer portal. I think you just hope that your coach does what Jimmy couldn't do.
Interesting.
Recruit.
Right, exactly. We got some texts coming in from Husky family. We'll get to some of those in the final hour. I find that an interesting one because I know I'm battling this right now with Oregon because they've been connected to Spencer Rattler. And there was another college football writer the other day that said, I'm hearing from sources. He's seriously looking at
Oregon.
Are you
buying that, though?
There was a national college football writer that reported it. Now, I don't know. Maybe they're just taking shots in the dark and there's no truth behind it. But I'm going through the same thing of, like, I get why, but that's sending the message the young guys aren't ready and one of them going to transfer. Like,
you'll lose those guys if he comes in.
So it's just a weird situation. But it's modern college football. And maybe you say, who cares about the younger guys? You go find another one in the transfer portal, or you recruit another kid that comes in and is ready to take that job over. But Jay Kaner, it sounds like, reporting to Washington as head coach at Fresno, going up to Seattle. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Kevin Todd will join us at 8:30. We'll get his picks for the weekend. I want to dive in just briefly on the Blazers, because they're playing again tonight. Tickets are cheap, and Damian Lillard is out. Somebody asked earlier, are they becoming irrelevant in this town? But we'll start, though, with the head coach at Utah, Kyle Whittingham. They take on the Ducks, trying to win that first Pac-12 championship. What does he think of the matchup, and how do you beat a team twice in 3 weeks? Kyle Whittingham, head coach at Utah, starts the final hour next on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.